Welcome to Base by Base, the papercast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app. So imagine taking a massive architectural blueprint, altering just four tiny letters, and suddenly the entire building functions completely differently.
Yeah, it's a wild thought.
Right. But it goes further than that. Imagine if the building itself could read the environment, sensing a storm or a sudden influx of people, and actively rewrite its own internal structural connections on the fly to adapt.
Like a living building.
Exactly. How could a tiny 4-amino acid peptide inside the brain dictate whether an animal feels anxiety, how it coordinates its movements, or whether it remembers fear? And what really happens when our neurons actively rewrite their own structural connections on the fly in response to their environment?
Well, it sounds almost paradoxical, right? Because we often default to viewing our genetic code as this, you know, static master plan. But in the nervous system, we're dealing with a dynamic matrix. These microscopic, real-time edits to the transcript fundamentally alter how a creature processes the world around it.
It's just fascinating. And today we celebrate the work of the collaborative research team at the University of Toyama and Azabu University, who have advanced our understanding of how microscopic genetic edits shape brain wiring and behavior.
Yeah, their research really addresses a major gap in neurobiology. I mean, we've known for a long time that the brain is plastic.
Sure.
But tracking that macroscopic plasticity down to a specific dynamic molecular switch in a living organism, that is an entirely different level of precision.
It really is. And to understand that precision, for you listening, we need to focus on alternative splicing, specifically microexons. So think of your genome as raw film footage, right?
A good analogy, yeah.
Thanks. And alternative splicing is basically the movie editor. The editor can cut different versions of a scene from the exact same raw footage to completely change the plot.
Exactly. And in this case, the editor is dealing with microexons. We are not talking about standard exons here. The spliceosome, our molecular movie editor, usually handles much larger sequences. But microexons are these incredibly dense, tiny regulatory modules.
How tiny are we talking?
Often just 3 to 51 nucleotides long.
Wow, so like just a few amino acids.
Right, and because they are so impossibly small, their inclusion or exclusion in the final mRNA transcript requires an immensely complex regulatory apparatus. And, you know, misregulation of these neural microexons is actually one of the strongest molecular correlates we have for neurodevelopmental disorders like autism spectrum disorder.
Which is huge. And that brings us to the core target of this deep dive, which is a protein called PTPRD.
Yes. Protein tyrosine phosphatase delta.
Catchy name.
I know, right? We just call it PTPRD. It's a presynaptic hub protein. It basically operates right at the synaptic cleft. It sits on the presynaptic membrane and physically reaches across the gap to bind with postsynaptic partners.
So it's like a bridge.
It is essentially the transsynaptic bridge, and depending on which partner it binds to, it dictates the structural and functional properties of that specific synapse.
Okay, let's unpack this. Today we are exploring how the alternative splicing of a single 4-amino acid microexon in PTPRD, known as ME, acts as a master switch for behavior and memory.
That's the one. ME. It literally codes for a mere 4 amino acids.
Just 4.
Just 4. The splicing machinery can either include ME in the final protein or it can skip it entirely. And that binary choice operates as a master switch for behavior.
But I mean, tracking the functional consequence of a 4-amino acid variation in living brain.
Yeah.
That seems like an overwhelming signal-to-noise problem. How could scientists possibly study the effect of something so incredibly small?
Well, they had to be clever. They engineered a highly controlled, reductionist in vitro system before they even looked at live animal models. They used what's called a bead co-culture assay.
Okay, so they coat microscopic bees with PTPRD to act like a fake synapse and see how the live neurons react.
That is exactly it. They took these inert microscopic beads and coated them with specific variants of PTPRD, either strictly containing the mepiparide or strictly lacking it. Then they dropped these functionalized bees into primary cultured neurons taken from the cortex, hippocampus, and cerebellum of mice.
That is a brilliant way to isolate the presynaptic variable. Because by replacing the transmitting neuron with a synthetic bead, you eliminate all the other, you know, conflicting signals.
Right, you strip away the noise. You're forcing the live postsynaptic neuron to respond solely to the structural presentation of that one PTPRD variant. And the results were immediate.
What happened?
It was binary. When the neurons encountered beads coded with the MEB-inclusive variant, they recruited a marker called SHANK2, which establishes excitatory synapses.
Okay, so MEB equals excitatory.
Yes. But when they encountered beads lacking MEBIG, the binding kinetics changed completely. PTPRD shifted its affinity, it bound to a different partner called Neuroligin 3, and the neurons recruited Geferin instead.
And Geferin is for inhibitory synapses, right?
Exactly. It established inhibitory synapses.
Here's where it gets really interesting for you listening. It's like a molecular traffic light dictating brain signals. The presence or absence of a 4-amino acid sequence physically dictates whether the synapses go or stop in the cortex and hippocampus.
A molecular logic gate.
Yeah, but translating a cell culture logic gate to a living, breathing animal requires a totally different approach.
It does. To bridge that gap, the team turned to in vivo CRISPR-Cas9 genome editing in mice. But, and this is key, they did not take the blunt force approach of just knocking out the PTPRD gene entirely.
Right.
Nor did they delete the MEB exon itself.
Because if you delete the exon, you just create this fake broken state that doesn't reflect how the body actually regulates things.
Precisely. To understand the regulatory mechanism, you have to target the control panels, the intronic sequences.
The introns, which, you know, we used to call junk DNA.
Right, they were historically brushed off. But we now recognize them as these highly sophisticated regulatory landscapes. So the team mapped the intronic region right next to MEBIB, and they identified a 316 base pair sequence acting as an intronic splicing enhancer, an IS.
An enhancer, okay.
You can think of the IS as a landing pad that increases the chance of the spliceosome assembling over the MEB exon.
So they precision deleted that specific 316 base pair non-coding enhancer.
Yes. Cleanly excised it.
Meaning the spliceosome is still functioning, but it's just worse at recognizing the MEB exon.
Exactly. The inclusion efficiency dropped by roughly 25%. In the IS mutant mice, 25% more of the PTPRD transcripts skipped the MEB exon compared to normal mice.
Okay, I want to pause on that metric for a second because the total amount of PTPRD protein in the brain remained completely normal, right?
Yes, completely normal.
The building materials are perfectly intact. It's only the ratio of the variants that shifted.
And that subtle 25% shift triggered massive systemic consequences. They ran these mice through a massive behavioral test battery. Rotarod, fear conditioning, elevated plus maze.
And what did they see?
Severe phenotypes. They exhibited marked hypoesthesia.
Which is a reduced sensory response.
Right. And in the elevated plus maze, they showed profound anxiety. They spent way less time exploring the open arms. They also demonstrated decreased locomotion and pronounced depression-like behaviors.
Which maps perfectly onto the bead assay results. Because if skipping MEB forces the synapse to become inhibitory, and these mice have a 25% increase in MEB skipping,
you're globally altering the excitatory-inhibitory balance.
Right. The circuits are being dampened down, leading to the anxiety and sensory deficits. But wait, here's the twist. Despite these massive impairments, the mice's learning and memory were totally unaffected.
Yeah, that was a shocking data point. It's a paradox. If the cortical circuitry is miswired to the point of causing profound anxiety, how is the hippocampus still forming memories? They performed contextual fear conditioning and the Barnes maze, and the mutants performed flawlessly.
They mastered the Rotarod test over multiple days, too.
They did. Their baseline hardware was altered, but their capacity to adapt and learn remained entirely intact.
So the genetic baseline, driven by that enhancer, controls the baseline emotional and sensory state. But the mechanics of learning must rely on a completely separate pathway.
Exactly. The blueprint isn't just static, it has to be reading the room. And this is where we move from a hardwired genetic code to an activity-dependent dynamic code.
Right, because splicing reacts to the environment.
Yes. The researchers hypothesized that alternative splicing isn't just humming along in the background, it actively responds to neuronal activity. So they took cultured neurons and stimulated them with potassium chloride.
Which simulates a highly active firing neural network.
Right. And the speed of the response was remarkable. Within 1 hour of stimulation, the neurons rapidly started skipping the MEB exon. The environmental stimulus physically triggered a massive shift in the transcript.
Wow. within an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So the brain has to have a way to control that on the fly.
It does. They scoured the intronic landscape again and found a second regulatory element, a 420 base pair silencer, an IS.
So if the enhancer was the baseline magnet, this silencer is the activity-dependent brake.
Beautifully put. When the neuron fires, it activates the ISS, which basically blocks the spliceosome, forcing it to skip MeB.
Meaning our brains have a dedicated intronic sequence whose sole purpose is to rewrite the synaptic blueprint in real time when we learn something new.
Yes, and to prove it, they made a second line of CRISPR mice. This time they deleted the silencer, the ISS.
Okay, so the baseline splicing is normal because the enhancer is still there.
Exactly, their baseline EI balance was stable.
So they shouldn't have the anxiety or sensory issues.
And they didn't. They had perfectly normal general behavior and anxiety levels, but...
But because their environmental sensor is broken, they can't skip the exon during neuronal activity.
Right. So what happened? Selective impairments in learning and memory. On the rotarod motor test, they could balance fine on day one. But unlike normal mice, they failed to improve on day two or day three.
They couldn't learn the motor skill.
They couldn't. And in fear conditioning, they showed impaired remote-cued fear memory.
That is wild. So what does this all mean for you and me?
Well, it fundamentally reframes how we think about genetic variation.
Yeah.
We usually assume a severe deficit requires a massive loss of protein, but this gives us what we can call the ratio rule.
The ratio rule, I love that.
It proves that the ratio of splice variants is vastly more important than the absolute amount of protein. The researchers actually proved this by making mice with a 50% loss of the total PTPRD protein, but a normal splice ratio. A 50% loss of the total protein caused fewer issues than a 25% shift in the splice ratio.
That's just, wow. Half the protein is fine, but miswire 25% of it and the system crashes.
The network can compensate for low materials, but it cannot compensate for fundamentally incorrect wiring instructions.
And this activity-dependent skipping, it allows for ligand switching, right? Changing the synaptic connection on the fly.
Yes. That structural swap is a required mechanical step for forming long-term memories and motor skills. If the silencer is broken, the neuron is stuck in its baseline state. It can't encode the new experience.
We have to talk about the clinical picture here, because disrupting this microexon creates ASD-like phenotypes, the sensory issues, the anxiety due to that excitatory-inhibitory imbalance.
It's a profound therapeutic target. We know microexon misregulation is a widespread phenomenon in individuals with autism spectrum disorder. If the pathology is driven by an abnormal splicing ratio, we could theoretically use targeted therapies to correct the splicing ratio and restore the balance.
That is incredible. But there are limitations, right? We still don't know exactly how the splicing codes for the different microexons like MeA3, MeA6, and MeB collaborate in harmony.
No, we don't. It's a hugely complex combinatorial system. The next frontier is really mapping this at the single cell level.
Right, because an interneuron might use a completely different baseline ratio than a projection neuron. Well, this has been an amazing deep dive. Basically, a single 4-amino acid microexon governed by both a hardwired genetic code and a dynamic environment responsive code, profoundly dictates an animal's emotional and cognitive development. It proves that our brains use microscopic, real-time edits to our genetic blueprint to shape our behavior and learn from the world around us. What does this mean for our understanding of human personality and the root microscopic causes of complex psychiatric conditions? This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you've just heard about. Thanks for listening and join us next time as we explore more science base by base.
Of a growing mind, a tiny cup decides the kind. Four letters slipped in, four left behind, and and circuits learn their turn in time. A hidden switch beneath the seam turns ratios into lived out dreams. Not how much, but how it's split makes every signal choose its fit. Four letters, eight roads, one brain in bloom. Skips like lightning, lands like a tune. When the balance bends, the whole world shows. We are the splice, we are the glow. Are pulling it near, keeps the stitch when the days are clear. Cut it out and the steps feel wrong. Learning stumbles where it belongs. But then activity hits within an hour. The pattern flips, a sudden power. Too fixed, too full, no room to breathe. And distant memories start to leave. Four letters, eight roads, set by.